Hi, I'm Joe Feeks, editor of Pig Health Today, and with me is Andrea Ahuja. She is a veterinarian and assistant professor at The Ohio State University. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Joe.
PRRS is on everybody's mind in the swine industry. It seems like all the time, but there's this feeling that it's more of a winter disease. Is that an accurate description, or are you seeing something different in your research?
Yeah, this is traditionally what we think about PRRS, it being a winter disease, but in fact, not really. Some of our recent research shows that PRRS, really the peaks of PRRS vary according to geographical region.
What are you seeing in terms of geography? Because when I think of pork production, particularly in the United States, I mean, it stretches from your state of Ohio and, you know, through Indiana, Illinois, Iowa, there's a lot of same weather patterns in there. What kind of changes are you seeing?
Yeah, so our research allowed us to look at a few of the states in the U.S., including Nebraska, Illinois, Minnesota, Iowa, and North Carolina, which, you know, are all sure. Big pig producers. And we saw that, for example, for the state of Iowa, we're talking about two different breaks. They have a summer peak, and they have a winter peak as well. For Illinois, on the other hand, we didn't really see a pattern, so it seems like PRRS just occur, I want to say randomly, but throughout the year, really.
In Illinois.
That's Illinois, correct. And for North Carolina, Nebraska, and Minnesota, then we did see the commonly referred to as a winter peak. So we did see the seasonal component of PRRS more prevalent during the winter.
Now, is it have more to do with pig flow, or is it terrain? How can you isolate that?
Yeah, so that's a great question, because we did some work on terrain, and we think that's more of a farm-level variable, really depends on where the farm is located independently of state, because we did account for that as well in our model. So what we saw in regards to slope and terrain was that farms that were located in a higher slope in terms of the inclination compared to the neighbors were protected of having PRRS outbreaks. We also saw that if they have vegetation, shrubs, or trees around the farm, that was also good in terms of protecting them. So I think it's important to think about animal movement, because we know that animals are going and the disease followed the animals. So I think that kind of explains why North Carolina and Minnesota have a similar pattern in terms of PRRS occurrence, because we know a lot of pigs are sent from North Carolina to Minnesota. Mm-hmm. But it seems like there's a lot of things there, weather-wise and landscape-wise, that we have to take into consideration when looking at PRRS and its occurrence.
Now, why is it that if you have more brush and shrubs and windbreaks on a farm, or if the farm is high on a hill somewhere, why would you see a lower incidence of PRRS on those farms?
Yeah, so the study that we performed really didn't allow us to get into the causality exactly, but we do have some hypotheses. So looking at some of the work the poultry industry pulled together, we see that they do report trees and shrubs being windbreaks for not only odor, which is the obvious one, but also dust and even viral particles. So meaning the trees could actually be trapping those particles and preventing outbreaks. And in terms of the slope, that's a more complicated issue. Mm-hmm. We think being in a slope could be a proxy for example, being farther from highways or areas of high traffic of trucks or containers that could have animals, but also from the airborne transmission, there might be also a protective effect there. If you think about a virus being better able to transmit when you have that stable air with lack of movement, it might be easier for the virus to get from farm to farm if you have everything in a flat landscape.
And did you look at farms on both sides of the hill, if you would? I mean, there's the windward and there's the leeward side. Were you able to see a difference in those types of farms?
Yeah, unfortunately, that specific study, we don't know. We just know that having a difference in the land is good. That's all we could mm-hmm. tell from that study. But that would be a great follow-up question for the future.
So what do we do with this information? I mean, you can't just pick up and move your farm. It is what it is. Are there certain management practices that different farms have to take to try to minimize PRRS infection?
Yeah,
because of their location?
Yeah, this is very interesting. And in fact, this question started with a producer, and he came and asked us, for this new barn, if I have the option, should I build it on the top of the hill or in a flat area where for me it's easier logistically? So actually that's how we started on mm-hmm. this track. So I think if they have the option, I would say there's no reason why you wouldn't build it in a tree or in a slope, or if you have trees around, leave them as is. that would be something I'd be comfortable to giving advice to producers right at this point. But I think you can always, with the what we saw in the seasonality, it's very important for pig producers and vets to make sure their biosecurity is up at all times throughout the year and not only reinforced during the winter. And just make sure your service providers are following if they have disease status information and communication with the neighbors. That all becomes very important when preventing outbreaks as much as we can logistically and, yeah, doing your best.
And what are some of the things that we could surmise from this research? Because I know that you couldn't take a look at everything, but if it seems to me that in seasons with wet weather, where you might have less dust and dirt blowing around, that there might be less of a chance for PRRS to be transmitted. Does that make sense? Or
I think it does make sense, but we didn't really look at humidity that much yet, or even wetlands. We didn't have enough information, but I think that would be a great another research question that we have to answer.
Okay, well, we want to keep you busy. In terms of what about soil types? Did you take a look at
how
different soil types in different areas might affect the transmission of PRRS?
And that's a great question, but yeah, we didn't have a chance to look at that yet.
Well, we'll have to add that one to the list as well.
Yes, the list is getting long.
Let's talk about some of your earlier work with PRRS. What specifically did you learn there?
Yeah, so a lot of my work a few years ago when I was doing my PhD was on networks. So we were actually trying and applying.
Network, yeah.
So we were trying to apply some concepts that people really use for social media to the pig world and trying to see how swine sites could be indirectly connected, which really could be a way of spreading disease and a pretty important one in my opinion. So yeah, we were doing a lot of PRRS investigations and trying to see if we can track different types of viruses. And some of the results, really summarizing, is that your network matters a lot. So again, paying attention to service providers and making sure you're scheduling things based on disease status, that seems to be very important for disease spread. Because we know we cannot really control airborne transmission, it's kind of off our hands, but we can control things that are related to workers and people we hire, and I think we can pay more attention to that as an industry.
And when you talk about networks and sites, it almost sounds like you're using cyber terms, but we're talking about
yes,
the farms themselves,
sites.
Aren't you?
Yeah. Yes, correct.
Yeah. Great. So what's the next step in your research? Because, I mean, this is fascinating how you can see such variability between, as I said, farms that have shrubs and those that do not. I mean, that's a simple example, but it's a fascinating part of PRRS management that really hasn't been given a lot of attention. What's next?
Yeah, so we are running a follow-up study right now. It's a case control study. We pick farms that broke with PRRS and farms that didn't. And we are actually looking at how much tree do they need to get to have around them, or how complete does that layer of tree needs to be. So we're trying to get a little bit deeper and hopefully be able to make some recommendations. And if we can prevent a certain percentage of outbreaks of PRRS through this natural landscape way, I don't see why not. I think that would be great.
Excellent. And in terms of the seasonality of it, let's just come back to that for a moment. We talked about it being thought of as more of a winter disease, but this is a threat that is year-round. Is that your conclusion?
Yes, I think so. And I think the more data we gather, we'll know that better in the future. But I think everyone should be concerned about PRRS throughout the year, and not only see it as a winter disease.
Well, and so often we tend to lean on biosecurity and vaccination, but sometimes the problem is literally blowing in the wind, I guess.
Yes, that's a great way to put it.
Okay, good. Well, we've been talking with Andrea Ahuja. She is a veterinarian and assistant professor at Ohio State University. Good luck with your research, and thank you again.
Thank you very much, Joe.